Hey, Heartbreakers. Welcome back to another Breakdown bonus episode. Today, I'm joined by marriage and family therapist, Licia Freeman. Thanks so much for hopping on the podcast today.
You're welcome. Pleasure to be here.
So today we're going to be diving into a topic that came up in this week's main episode, which is what do you do when your partner has an unhealthy reliance on you and has a level of dependency on you that starts to become really, really toxic? So my first question for you is, I think when we think of a romantic relationship and two lives come together and there starts to be kind of an intermingling of needing people for support and help. So what does a healthy level of dependence on your partner look like in a relationship?
Yeah, good question. Because when you are in a relationship, there is interdependence, right? Which is you count on each other. You rely on each other. Reliance is extremely important because that taps into the safety in the relationship, trust, right? All that. You have to be able to rely on your partner. And yet over-reliance, right? Like everything that's extreme doesn't work. Right. So if usually what I see is when one person will rely on the other, but the return is not present. Right. So there is that reliance. But when that person needs you, you're not available or you can't or you get too stressed out. Then that's when we see the imbalance, right? And that imbalance is fine if it's temporary, right? If somebody's overloaded at work or, you know, is not capable to show up, fine. Temporarily, we all can hold that relationship alone, but not on a regular basis. That becomes a burden.
Mm. So when it starts to become imbalanced in an unhealthy way. So the example I'll give you is the dynamic that we saw in the story that we heard earlier this week on the podcast. It was a man and a woman in a relationship. And when the woman started wanting to break off the relationship, the man was kind of like, no, like we're not breaking up. I want to be with you. I need you. And it started to become a very toxic situation where she felt responsible for his well-being. What would you recommend somebody put in that position do? Is it the right thing to try and help them throughout their struggles? Or do you need to run as far as possible from this situation?
Yeah, that is one thing. If it becomes a pattern, well, it's toxic, right? Because then that person is so dependent on you that you almost start feeling responsible for that person. And at that point, sex becomes horrible or non-existent, right? Because the dynamic is now you're caring for a partner. You almost take a parental role. And of course, then sex is not going to be good, right? Excuse me. So what we want to have in a relationship is equal to equal, adult to adult, right? Even though we regress at some points, and that's all fine if it's temporarily, right? And we are covering for each other on a temporary basis. But if it becomes the pattern and there is that manipulation, when you realize this relationship is not working for me, I'm not getting much from it. I'm just giving a lot, but not getting much. Well, then hopefully there's got to be a conversation, an honest conversation about how you feel, right? And that your partner should be able to hear you out and understand and correct that behavior. If that partner is reactive and gets regressive and to the point that you're always the adult in the relationship, well, then do you want to be in that relationship? And I ask the question because some people are so used to taking care of others, and it comes from childhood roles, right, that they don't know how to do relationship differently. right? And that may be the people that they get attracted to over and over and over again, even though they want somebody to be an adult in the relationship with them. They find themselves attracted to the ones that actually need an adult. Then it goes back to that, the ultra reliant partner to do some work on what is going on, with them and this automatic pattern of feeling attracted to these people that feel dependent.
And I think the woman who came on and did the interview with me is a lot like many of the listeners that hear this podcast, where they're in a relationship with somebody who clearly needs to do the work, but is not going out and getting that help. And they feel like if I leave this person, it's just going to send them down an even worse path. Like, is it better for me to stay with this person and help them out? So how would you encourage that person to put themselves and their safety first before taking them into consideration? Because at the end of the day, like, they got to have personal responsibility, right?
Yes. And by them staying and taking care of the partner, they're not helping their partner, right? They are just encouraging that pattern of dependence, right? So then, in this case, she will burn out, right? And will get to a point that she doesn't know what else to do to help this partner. And that's a toxic codependence, right? And then if you want an adult, an equal to be in the relationship with you, well, that's not going to happen because now you're staying in this relationship out of guilt, that you absolutely need to care for this person, right? And so that can also play into people feeling that they are martyrs, they're the saviors, and they have to be there because that person needs them so much, and they feel good about that. But the flip side of that is like you're exhausted because you're the one, giving and giving and not getting much except the feeling that you're needed.
And on an extreme level, and this came up in this story that we put out this week, but it's so common that it's scary how many times I've heard this. But when that partner who recognizes that they need to leave the relationship is ready to leave, or actually does leave the relationship, the reliant partner will threaten self-harm or threaten to do something that threatens their life. How do you handle that in that situation? What would you tell somebody who is it being cornered into that position where they now feel responsible for that person's life? What do they do in that
I
situation?
know, gosh, it's such a hard place to be, right? And that tells you, that's a lot of information on the mental health of that partner, right? That feels that for them to survive, they need to depend on somebody else to the point that they entertain killing themselves if that person is not there, right? So to me is if that is the case, first of all, you need to encourage that person to get help, right? You need to say you need therapy, or even if you need to call 911 to help that person, call 911, right? We have to make sure that we offer help, but you are not responsible for that person's health, right? I mean, that is a personal issue, and you can't just put your life on hold to be there for somebody that is almost like drinking your blood to be alive, and meanwhile you are just gonna die, figuratively, because you're being drained, right? So, and that it's tough because a lot of people use that as a manipulative tactic to keep the partner there. But you don't take those threats lightly either, right? So that's when what I encourage people to do is the moment anybody threatens to harm themselves, I would call 911. And let them know first, like, look, if you threaten that for me, I can't do anything to help you, but I will call for help. Because
Absolutely.
then, at least you're doing what you can. Remember, we only have control over ourselves. We don't have control over anybody else, right? So we can encourage people, we can make phone calls to help them, but we can't be the one, their lifeline at all times.
The woman who I interviewed this week, who was put in that position, she eventually does leave the relationship. But during that time where they were either breaking up or still together, some things happened that kind of led him down a really dark path. And she's having a really hard time not blaming herself. I think she does blame herself, but I think she's really putting a lot of his behavior onto her. And I think she feels very responsible for him and the path that he ended up taking. What would you say to somebody that is racked with guilt for deciding to leave the relationship and feeling like they're now responsible for what happened to that partner?
Well, again, they don't have any control over anybody else's behavior. Period. Right? You only have control over your behavior. Now, if you choose that the relationship is toxic for you, it's not working, right? So you get to a point that you feel you're drowning in that relationship and the pattern is not healthy. Well, then it's a choice to say, look, this is not working for me. I need to go. So at that point, you are taking care of yourself and you're hoping that this partner will be an adult and take care of themselves and seek help and all that. But are you really responsible, right? Are you actually making that partner make his decisions? I mean, that's not on you. That's absolutely not on you, right? That tells you a lot of information on the mental health of that person. And that somehow there was some attraction there. Right. And it was that magnet, that person needed a lot of help. And you were there willing to help because we all have, old patterns that keep coming back. And now there is that codependency. And to the point that you feel, oh my gosh, if I leave, this person will just collapse. Well, but is that a healthy relationship?
Very.
Right. So all you can do is offer help, offer, I can call, I can help you find a therapist or whatever. But whatever that person decides to do, that is not on you. That's just not on you because you've done what you could, right, to help. And then you're not God. So that's that point that we have to work on letting go, which is so hard. Letting go is hard, right?
Very hard.
Yes. But so I would recommend, I usually recommend these people that have this pattern of wanting to feel needed to the point that you actually feel attracted to people like that are extremely codependent and need you so much. To attend Al-Anon meetings, right? Or CODA meetings, because that helps you really deal with the guilt and the feeling that if you're not there, that person is going to do some harm to themselves. And again, that's outside of your control. So we go back to these CODA meetings and Al-Anon meetings that really helps you see that, you have to work on letting go.
What are those meetings? You said CODA and Al-Anon.
Al-Anon, yes,
Al-Anon. Okay.
Al-Anon. And if you go online, they have virtual meetings, they have in-person meetings, but that's primarily to work on those situations when you are with, a relationship, be it, a sibling, a parent, a child, a partner. That have those behaviors, and that you feel so dragged into that dynamics that to the point that people feel like desperate that they cannot help more, again, because you have no control over what this other person will do. So there is a limit, right? And you can do everything within your power to help and still not help.
You've given us so much great information and advice on how to handle this situation, but is there anything I haven't asked or that we haven't covered that you think is really important to know for anybody who feels like their partner has an unhealthy relationship with their relationship?
Yeah. Well, once you realize that it's not working for you, the sooner you set healthy boundaries, the better, right? And you can set those healthy boundaries in the relationship. And that's when you will see the partner's reaction, right? And if there is that pull to know, I need you more, I need you more, you have to ask yourself, is that the relationship you want to be with? And then the work is on now how not to repeat that pattern, because we are very attracted to what's familiar. And what's familiar is usually not what's best for us, right? And that's why people keep changing partners, but the partners have the same profile, right? So that's then it's a red flag that you have to do some work. In order to identify why is it that you feel attracted to those types of people, right? So that you don't repeat that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. This again,
You're
marriage.
welcome.
Thank you. You did so great. This is marriage and th family therapist, Licia Freeman. It's been such a pleasure having you on today.
Yes, my pleasure.